This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to episode 49 of the Polykill Podcast. As always, we are your hosts. With me, as always, is Jake. You can find him on Twitter and Instagram at the McAxel. Jake plays those contemporary games that look real good on his TV, and he occasionally goes downtown and spars with men.
That is true. Sometimes I do that after work. I'll strap on some gloves, wrap my hands real tight, and then go punch things with people.
Yeah, but you don't punch people with things.
I do punch people sometimes, but when they're holding things for me to punch.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
It's a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good time. Thank you, Travis. This is my chief PIC and the BMOC, Travis, also known as Trav Plays Games on the Twitter and the Instagram. And from my understanding, he likes cats and collects games.
That's true. I collect cats and I love games.
Either way.
That is very true.
Either way. He's a crazy game lady.
Yeah, that is very apt. So last week, we released Fisting Stories, or Fist Jobs. First Fistings. No.
It's First Jobs.
Our first...
First jobs.
Jobs, yes.
Yeah.
A lot of them were our shitty jobs,
Shitty jobs, yeah. I didn't want to title it Shitty Jobs because I think iTunes would have been like, hey, you can't say Shitty Jobs.
You can't say that.
So I titled it First Jobs. But it essentially is Shitty Jobs.
Yeah, they were, most of them were shitty. We got a shitty share from Pam and a shitty share from Diego. Diego shared a couple shitty ones, and Frankie and his watch fobs were also shared. So make sure you check that out. It's up on YouTube. It's everywhere you find us.
Yeah, it was a hoot.
It was a hoot. It was a couple hoots.
Yeah, it was like a fucking hoot moot.
A hoot moot. Like a gaggle of hootings.
Like a gaggle of hoots. Like an int moot, but a hoot moot. You feel me, Musty. You know what I'm talking about. You laughed.
Musty loves a good hoot moot.
Boy, does he.
The next off-kilter will be Run-Ins with Nature. That's going to be off-kilter 10 here in a couple weeks.
Ooh,
so if you've ever been out in the nature and nature has had just something to say about it, you know, share that moment with us.
Well, it's a good time.
You went camping, you were chased out of your campsite by gnats, or maybe you happened upon a goose once.
Right.
Or anything way more exciting than that. Please send those into polykillpodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Twitter.
Yeah, do it.
And episode 50 coming up, going to be that Twitch episode we've been telling everybody
about.
Been
teasing it.
Now, we're going to be doing this live on Thursday, September 21st, 2017, Year of Our Lord, at 8 p.m., Standard Eastern Time. That's the same time zone as Toronto and New York. The one that, you know, when you're setting up your new computer and it asks you what...
Where are you?
And it has like negative fours and plus fives and all that stuff. Well, just look at a map and it's right there, that little sliver.
Yep, GMT minus five.
GMT minus five. That's where it's going to be, 8 p.m.
That's oose.
And so follow us on Twitter for the deets, the links, and all that stuff, and we'll try to be there too. Okay, moving right along. That's some of that housekeeping stuff we have to do around
that was
here, Jacob.
Succinct.
Let's move on to recent pickups and on the radar. I picked up an NES game, and I had to go through a little bit of hell and high water to get it.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Tell us what the game is, Travis.
The game is Zen Intergalactic Ninja. It is one of those kind of mid-tier uncommon games that I needed for my collection.
It sounds like that Kabuki...
Quantum Fighter, yeah.
Quantum Fighter, yeah. It kind of puts me in mind of that. Is it similar at all?
I don't think it's similar, but I think they're regarded the same. I think they're both kind of...
Semi-rare?
Well, no, not semi-rare even, but just more beloved 20 years later than they were at the time.
Oh, I got you.
Like
that movie, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I guess. I have no idea.
Yeah, it flopped at the box office. People hated that movie when it came out.
But people love it now.
Love it now.
Great.
Moving on.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like that. I get this game for a really good deal off of a buddy on Nintendo Age, and I'm excited about getting it, but I don't realize that it's going to require a signature.
I hate that.
So I come home from work one day, and I see the pink slip in the door, and immediately I'm like, son of a bitch. You know, this just creates work for me now.
Right.
And
now it's on me.
I operate...
I click the buy button. That's all I should have to do.
And
end of transaction.
I sent the guy money.
Yeah.
What more do you want from me? Why do you want my autograph?
Right.
So anyway, I have to go to the post office, and I happen to work at the same time the post office is open, so this becomes a real pain in the ass.
Right.
And so I go by, and I take my little slip with me, and they say, come after 9 a.m. I come at 9:30. You know, that's precisely
that's after.
That's very much after 9 a.m. I couldn't imagine a time more after. And so I go in, I hand my slip to the dude. He says he'll be right back. I'm in there for 15 minutes. And nobody else is in there with me. It's just like a dead period, I guess, for podunk ass post office.
Sure.
He comes. I hear people talking in the back, and they're like, "I don't know." And I'm like, "There's a problem with my package. I just fucking know it."
Yeah.
A guy actually comes over and looks in a cabinet that, like, nothing's been put in this cabinet. He goes, he looks at the slip, and he looks at me, and he goes, "Were you actually expecting a package?" I was like, "Yes." And he just opens a cabinet, like, you know, like just like, looking for it. Like, did it get stuck where the tape goes? Nah, it's not in here. Like, he goes, then he looks around. He goes, "How big was it?" And I was like, "Well, you're kind of doing it. Like, it's
it's similar to that arm movement.
It's that." And so then he's just kind of looking around for where it could fit. He's like, "Is it?" I was like, "Oh my god, this is not good." So he takes me off to the side, and he says, "I've made some calls to the route." And he comes up with some excuses. He's like, "Your normal route person's on vacation, so we had to double up the routes, and we think one got confused." And I'm like, "What are you running here? Like, this is supposed to be a government-run office, and it's just like we put Jim on it. He doesn't even work here, and you know whatever else." So I'm kind of fed up with it. I know this game cost me a lot of money. I hope it's not lost is my big worry. But he says, you know, "I'm sure it'll come through. Don't worry about it. Here's my number," whatever, yada, yada. And as I'm leaving, he calls out to me. He's like, "Hey, buddy, hey." And he's on the phone. He goes, "Hey, your route driver said that she was sitting on it. So she's got it." And I was like, "What? She was sitting on my fucking expensive game?" Like, "No, man, that ain't cool. Like, don't, why are you happy about that? That ain't funny.
I'm glad you found it, but no.
Like, I got a sign for this, you know?" And then he was like, "Are you going to be at your house now?" I'm like, "I'm literally standing in here right now talking to you." I was like, "No, I have to go to work." And he was like, "Oh, okay." And so I leave. And then I get a call like 3 hours later from another person that was like, "Hey, man, we went to deliver your package, but you weren't home again. What do you want us to do with it?" Then he actually says this over on the phone. He goes, "We got to get a signature on the damn thing." I was like, "Are you mad at me or just like the system?"
Jeez.
I was like, "I agree. We do have to do this. Like, I'm all in. What do you need me to do?" And they say, "Okay, well, when can you come in?" I was like, "I can come in right now. Like, I just got off work. That's why I'm checking voicemail. I can come in right now." I call them back. I say, "I'm coming right now. But I know you guys aren't open right now." And they're like, "Oh, just ring the buzzer." I'm like, "Oh, okay. That's like a thing you could do, evidently." So I've never been into a post office. I haven't been in a post office in years.
Right, right.
And sure enough, there's like a buzzer there, and I rang it, and some guy comes over and opens up the door, and he's like, "There you are. We took this by your house, but you weren't home." I was like, "I literally told you at 9:30 this morning I was going to work. And I wasn't going to be there to sign
good
for
God.
It. It was a mess.
God, it sounds like a goddamn rodeo.
All just to get a signature on a game that I've not even taken out of the box
I'm
yet.
I'm never
still
ordering
upstairs.
A game again.
Don't do it. Don't get a signature on it. I don't know what that was all about. But anyway.
I've had to sign for some records that I've ordered. Because they've come from Deutschland, and they've got all these labels on them that say Achtung and stuff. And people are like, "Yeah, I'm going to need you to..."
Well, this came from New Jersey, so I don't know what the excuse was, but...
That is weird. That is weird.
It is weird, but I did finally get it, and I'm happy that I got it.
I'm also happy you got it.
Let's move on to the radar, September 12th through September 25th.
Yeah.
I don't have a 3DS, and a lot of the times these games on our radars, I can't get them, but I'm just excited they're coming out, and I want to talk about them a little bit.
Right.
Metroid Samus Returns comes out September 15th. I mean, I'm really excited about this. Now,
to be frank, I probably will not play this game.
You probably will not, and it's okay that you don't, because we did play the game that it was that originates from.
Right, right.
Which is Metroid 2, which I found very, very enjoyable. A lot of people hate it.
I know, and that's weird to me, because I find it a very focused game. It's very fun to have that countdown meter of like how many are left.
I think that's neat.
I really enjoyed it, and you know, it had some really cool abilities, like the whole sticky ball thing.
Yeah, the spider. I think it was called spider ball. Okay, spider that ball. Was really cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. So like there were some really cool moments in that game, and it's weird to me that it's the black sheep, because I do find certain aspects of it to be superior to the Ridge.
Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit. I mean, it was much more streamlined, I think.
I agree. And maybe that was the, you know, the constraint of being on a handheld, is they wanted to make it clear and kind of like when you left off and then came back to it, you weren't like we were when we, you know, stopped playing Super Metroid 3 different times.
Yeah.
We're like, and, where the fuck are we?
I think one thing that helped our situation with Metroid 2 was playing it on the Super Game Boy.
That did help, but it did not help with the controls, if you recall. Like, I don't know if it was your controller, but like the wall jump.
Oh, yeah, we found it was
very
difficult.
to do.
And then we did try it on the Game Boy, and we're like, this is way easier.
Much simpler.
Yeah, that's a good point. But anyway, I'm excited that, I mean, I would like to dabble with it anyway, or at least,
sure.
I mean, it's really hard to see videos of 3DS games be played online.
It never holds up.
up. So I do. I'm, you know, if somebody I know gets one, or maybe I'll take the dive at some point. But
just buy you one of them 2DSs, fam.
Maybe I will.
$150. Not bad.
Is that it? Yeah. If it's $150 in you, then they're probably just all over the place on the Craigslist. You know,
it's possible.
So cool. Good to know. Yeah. What about you? You got anything coming out you like?
Yeah. So like pickups for me, I picked up a game yesterday, which as of the time of this recording would be September 6th, which is a big day for those of us who consider ourselves guardians. And that would be Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Big deal. Big old deal.
I'll talk more about it later. But I did pick that up.
I thought it was funny. Brian picked it up just on the spot.
It was like, you know, we were going to lunch. Yeah. I actually got a lunch yesterday and I was like, hey, let's go eat. But can we swing by GameStop? Because I want to pick up my copy. And, Brian, I don't believe had pre-ordered or really any strong feelings about buying it immediately.
No, but he did. He wanted to get it on PC, which comes out a couple months from now.
Right.
So he.
But the problem is there's no one there to play with.
Exactly.
Because I don't think anyone that he plays PC games with is interested.
Yeah, exactly.
So I dove in. And it was like, I'll get this. And then, you know, turn around and he's behind me. He's like, yeah, I'll have what he's having. And I was like, sweet, bro.
And that's cool.
So whenever he gets Petey back, we'll up our light levels.
You know, do it up. Yeah, right on, man.
And on the radar for me, I don't really have a lot. It's kind of a bit of a weird spell. I looked at that games list and it's just like, there's a lot of shit on here I don't care about. But one of them is I am interested in. I don't think I'll buy it immediately, but it is the Marvel v. Capcom Infinite. And this looks to be much more of a fleshed out story campaign between these two worlds. And that's really exciting because it's just fun to see these. Because, you know, if you've played any of these other before, it's just kind of like rosters. And like there might be some light story elements. So it's like, here's these Marvel guys. Here's these Capcom guys. They're in the same game. They fight each other. Cool. But like this, they're actually like talking to each other and working together. And Mega Man and, you know, all these people that you recognize are speaking and working with all these Marvel superheroes. So That's pretty cool.
You think it'll be on the level of Injustice or no?
I mean, the campaign trailers that I've seen, I think there's been two, look pretty damn great.
Really?
So, I mean, it's not going to be in the same style of Injustice 2 in terms of, like, I guess the grittiness of Injustice, even though it's still a T-rated game, it's fairly gritty. I think it's going to be a little more, you know, poppy bubblegum.
Yeah.
We'll say that. It's like my brain just stopped.
That got better as you went. Yeah. I will say that.
Much better. Yeah, but it looks more bright and colorful and, you know, still kind of not dark like Injustice was.
There's not a lot of gritty Mega Man.
No. And, like, you know, there's some gravitas with, like, the Marvel characters, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, terribly dark. But anyway,
cool.
I will play it at some point. I doubt it'll be soon. But, you know, in case you don't know, it is a fighting game. And it has been a long-running fighting game series. But this just looks to be the newest and biggest and brightest and the best and the boldest.
Right on.
So we'll take it.
All right. Well, last year we celebrated 2 years as a podcast. Let's find out what happened.
Let's do that.
Previously on Polykill, Trav finished Inside while Jake completed a masterpiece in Uncharted 4. The hosts hammer out the Just Beat It segment with silly ad-libs and highlight the announcement of a new Age of Empires and the delay of Crackdown 3. The two-year anniversary celebration commences with personal feats of the last year as well as shout-outs to beloved listeners. Games that have gone AWOL over the last few episodes serve as the topic of discussion.
All right, so that's what happened last time, Jake. We talked about that delay of Crackdown 3, which still has me a little bit bummed.
I can see that. I think it's good, but I mean, just for the game, not for those of
right. I get what you're saying. For the development of the, for the sake of the game, it's good.
Right.
And then we talked about that 2 years of podcasts and highlighted some listeners. Talked about some of our favorite peeps, the club, whatnot,
good
and
time.
Butchered people's ears with a long rendition of the long play.
Yeah.
We certainly did that.
We did.
That takes us into Hot Jake's. Hit that Hot Jake music. Today on Hot Jake's, we have Half-Life 3 story released.
That's it. Let it go home.
Bethesda alludes to secret game.
Vosruda.
Atari Box will seek crowdfunding?
Boo.
Boo indeed.
Boo.
All right, let's jump right into this then. Half-Life 3 story released. What's up?
Yeah, so that was, you know, when I read these headlines, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I read them as Half-Life 2 Episode 3.
That's true. Did I misspeak there?
It's not quite Half-Life 3.
That's right.
It may have been.
Well, I think a lot of the whirlwind surrounding that story, Half-Life 3, was what people were yelling out loud. But you're right. It was Half-Life 2 Epistle 3.
Epistle?
Is that what he titled it. He also changed the name of Gordon Freeman to something else, too, because I think he's trying to dodge.
Oh, I gotcha. Copyright claims.
Yeah, I think it was Gertrude Fremont, which, if you're going to be creative, go all out. But,
let's do it.
But yeah, Half-Life 2 Episode 3, you are right.
Okay, so that leaked. To be frank, I've stopped caring about Half-Life's future a very long time ago. Like now it's just kind of a meme and it's a funny thing, but a lot of people seemed intrigued by it. And, you know, there were lots of reaction videos to it. Did you dive into the story at all? Did you read it or anything like that?
Did I read his,
his manuscript or at least hit the highlights?
It's very brief though. It's not a script. It's just like, here's the outline of the plan.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
You know, I was kind of like you in that I never actually played the original Half-Life, so I jumped into Half-Life 2, and then I played the 2 after, and I thought it was okay, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I was just a little too late for it to wrap me like it did a lot of folks. So I have never been one to clamor for Half-Life 3. I always thought it'd be cool, but I think any Valve property that ends in a 3 would be cool.
I agree. I do think it is one of those things that just sort of solidifies my belief, and it's not even a hope. It's much more solid than that nothing is ever going to come of Half-Life again.
Yeah.
I think the door is officially closed on more Half-Life.
I think it's
at least in this generation.
Yeah, I think it has been officially closed for some time, but I don't think that this changes much, because it is just an outline of a story that, I mean, the story's going to be rewritten. So if Valve did ever want to bring this isn't stopping them from doing that, you know?
Exactly.
So I don't think it really changes much, personally. I just think it's interesting that this was the guy that carried Half-Life through, and this was his vision. I think that's the neat thing.
It is a neat thing. It's something that, those of us that clamor for sequels or hope for a next installment of a game, we don't often get to see that side of it. So it is cool. That would be like you getting a Dark Cloud 3 script.
I know. It would be heartbreaking and fulfilling at the same time.
Right.
And I think that's what a lot of people experienced.
Maybe. Closure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the thing that carries, that it's going to live on after this, is will Mark Laidlaw, the guy who used to work for Valve, left 18 months ago and then released this story. Are there any legal repercussions for what he did? I think that's interesting, because he's no longer with Valve, and I don't know what agreements or contracts he had signed. And he did change, he attempted to vague it up a little bit. I guess he was trying to, to skirt as many obvious condemnments as he could by changing certain names. But I don't know where it'll go from here. I'm wondering if this is all we will hear from it, or if there will be some fallout.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine there'll probably be some sort of, if there hasn't been already, maybe I just missed it, some sort of official statement from Valve, either rebutting or recanting or something. I could see that happening, but
yeah. At this point, though, I think it'd be in bad taste for them. It's like, hey, at least somebody's doing something with it.
Cool. Good for you guys.
All right, so let's move on to Bethesda alluding to a secret game.
Yeah, now this one struck me just all kinds of weird. I actually saw the article today, and that is that according to VG247, there was an interview that Pete Hines did with Tech Syndicate, where he's rattling off all the games that are coming out through Bethesda this fall, as a publisher and as a developer, because they do have a couple of in-house things going out. So they got Skyrim, Switch, Wolfenstein 2, which is the new Colossus, it's basically 3, Evil Within 2, Quake Champions, Elder Scrolls Legends, Elder Scrolls Online, Dishonored, Death of the Outsider. And then he says something that no one really expected, which was, and I quote, we even have a game coming out this year we haven't even told anyone about yet. They can wait. It won't be so long. What do you make of that?
Who is he saying they can wait to? Like the people clamoring for?
Don't know.
Just a Bethesda game?
Don't know.
Okay.
That's the weird part to me. It's that line.
Yeah, because if
there's certain things that they are waiting for.
Yeah, I don't think he's talking about Elder Scrolls fans when he says that.
Like, I can
almost immediately say it's not going to be that awesome.
Wouldn't it be cool though?
It would be. I mean, a shadow, like
they
a literal shadow drop, like not like a shadow drop announcement. Like it's coming.
It's like, oh, by the way, bam.
It's like it's on shelves. That's weird. I don't think it's that. I mean, if anything, I'm really just maybe I'm tempering my own expectations.
No, and that's trying fair. To be real. And we should. We
it
should.
Might be a DLC for something that we don't know about
well,
yet, or something.
The story goes on. The interviewer says, ask him directly, is it new IP? And he replies, I'm not telling you. It's a good try. I'm just not telling you. So, I mean, that's a good non-response. But at the same time, I don't know. It's weird. I mean, there's a lot coming out from Bethesda. They have a very busy fall, even though a lot of the games I don't really care about, like the VR updates of their games, the Elder Scrolls card game, Elder Scrolls Online. I'm sort of half flaccid for Evil Within 2. Yeah. So, but the only one I really care about is Wolfenstein, New Colossus. So I'm, for someone who's a Bethesda fan, the fact that there might be something else could be cool. Now, who knows? It could be another free-to-play game that you download on your phone.
I was thinking the same thing.
Could be the same thing, because they did basically shadow drop that last year.
It could be Bethesda Land. You know, what if their whole E3 press conference was an advertisement for this?
Or what if it's that Starfield that was rumored, I mean, who knows?
True. That's another one. So, yeah, I don't know. But it's tasty. Just a tasty nugget that you just...
You savor it. And it's like, what is going to happen? Because I'm trying to think, are there any other big gaming events between now and the end of the year?
I mean, I think
we're done, right? I mean, we've had E3, we've had Gamescom, we've had PAX.
Is
West,
Tokyo gone? Tokyo Game Show?
Tokyo TGS? And, that's the only one I could think. Maybe Paris Games Week. I don't even know when those are, but I just know there are things.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not good with calendars.
But anyway.
That's interesting.
Let's see. There was just posted an update, so this whole thing might be moot.
Oh.
I probably just had a concussion from the beating I took online and was rambling. Ignore.
Huh.
That's weird,
Did he get himself in trouble by saying it?
Maybe.
Todd Howard was like, Petey, like, hey, what are you doing?
Hey, stop.
Tokyo Game Show, Tokyo Game Show, I believe, is in September. But also don't know how to read at all. So I could be wrong.
Anyway, this is just a weird story at this point.
Yeah, because the fact that you just got an update of him saying, oops,
I did it again.
Huh.
I don't know. It's a strange thing to even.
He seemed pretty confident. Like it wasn't just like he was like, and we got other games. It was like, and we have other games. Don't ask me about it. And then that other guy asked him about it, and he was like, I'm not telling you. So
good
that's
try.
Like that's more than just a
that's
Freudian
more than like,
slip.
Yeah, we got another game coming out too. Oh shit, no, we don't.
That's
like
that's doubling
good try.
Down.
Yeah. So I agree. I think there's more to this story, and I'm really anxious to see what else happens.
I think it's because I want it to be. So I'm reading between the lines. I want to read between.
It makes no sense for them to do anything else. They're doing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense to do something else, which would be beautiful if they did it.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right, so let's move on to where are we? Oh, Atari Box will see crowdfunding. What in the F?
Now this is something that just rubs me the wrong way. Like there's a certain way in which I like to be rubbed. This is not that way.
Yeah.
Now
I've
not been. I had an Atari 2600 when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Played Combat. Played Pitfall. Played those games. But I'm not like an Atari fanboy. But it's one of those things. It's like I'm not a Nintendo fanboy, but it kind of makes me happy that if they're doing well, it would be really cool if Atari came back and did something cool.
Nah, I agree.
Not just fall flat on their face or, do
just
something
publish.
Stupid.
Yeah, and just actually getting back.
But they actually did something.
Same for Sega. I'd like to see.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go back to the heyday.
Sure. Sure. Like, I'd be cool with that. But the most recent thing that I've seen is that they're sort of, I guess we can call it a console. I mean, I guess that's what it is.
It has a form factor.
Their newest venture is a console called the Atari Box. It does have modern peripheral inputs and outputs. Don't really know about the guts of the thing, but
I'm betting they don't exist at this point.
I am also betting that. But they're going to seek crowdfunding to get this thing off the ground. Now, that I dislike. That I dislike strongly. Because what does it mean? What's the last console that asked for crowdfunding? What was that? Was it Ouya?
Ouya.
Oh, yeah. What about that? Yeah. What's the last big entity that said, hey, crowdfund me, brah? I think it was Sony with Shenmue 3. Where has that been?
I have no idea, actually.
I think there's been like two video updates in the last 3.5-4 years on that thing. So I'm, I'm not feeling this. It doesn't bode well. Why start something if you don't have the capital to finish it?
It really bothers me when companies in general seek that grassroots funding, like they tap into what Kickstarter
Right.
Kickstarter's not for that, really.
It shouldn't be. You should kick those people off of there.
It should be for, you know...
The unknowns.
Yeah, Joe Schmo gets an idea, and he has no way to make this idea happen without help.
Right.
Not a company that's just trying to seek your money to gauge their own...
interest.
Yeah, to gauge their interest and to gauge their own bottom line at the end.
Right.
And it's just almost like cheating for them.
It is.
Like, I bet any company would love to crowdfund
right.
if they could, you know?
Yeah, I mean, basically what it is, it's paid market validation.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. And that's robbery. I hate that.
Yeah,
stop
I don't
it.
Dig it.
I so
don't
anyway,
it.
Like, I
don't
really have
want
high
this
hopes.
Thing to begin with. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't really care at the end of the day. I'm probably not going to buy it, but it does, it makes me less inclined to even be interested if this is going to end out like I hope it doesn't.
Yeah.
I guess is the best way to say that. But we'll see. You know, I mean, it's early on. Maybe they'll backtrack. Maybe they'll get an angel investor. Maybe something will happen. And they'll
Elon
be like,
Musk
cool.
will take it over and we'll
yeah.
all be writing
Richard
Atari
Branson
boxes
will be like,
to the moon.
Ah, come on, love.
Yeah.
I think that's what he talks like.
Virgin.
Virgin. Down under.
So let's move on to games that we have completed.
Let's do that. I didn't do any of them. It's been a rough 2 weeks. New semester started. Work's been crazy. Didn't beat anything. Sorry, fam.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Well, I beat a couple.
You beat a couple.
One that I beat was Nier Automatopoeia.
Yeah.
You know, like a noise that yeah. you make and spell. Man, I don't know if I'm even prepared right now to talk about this, but I'm going to try my best.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
The game is, you know, I've seen a lot of good reviews for it.
Sure.
Very interesting to me, you know, just on the surface. It's mm-hmm. it's all these different things. It's more than just one type of game. It's,
right.
And, you know,
it's
story.
It's genre moot.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. They're still pushing that hoot moot.
Yeah.
The story was talked up to me. The mechanics were talked up to me. And, you know, stylistically everything. So, I wanted to get it. It's the first game that, you know, is semi-new that I've gotten in a long time. And I enjoyed the first, like, 10 hours of it,
oh.
I think. I got to do pretty much everything the game had in store for me, I felt. You know, and I liked certain things about it, and other things I thought were kind of repetitious. You know, there's, you know, you do those shooting mode, you know, like I talked about, like it changes
right.
the perspective, and then suddenly it's sort of a classic shooter, and it'll change another perspective, or you can hack stuff, and it's even, you know, even different there, and it has all these different genres, obviously, but the RPG point, or the RPG kind of action-adventure aspect of it, sort of takes over for a really long period of the game, and trudging back and forth on that map is so arduous. I hated it after a while.
Mm.
Despite the fabulous Android Tushy, it was just, it became so much to just be like, okay, I gotta go all the way back over there, and the enemies just got so boring. It was the same enemies over and over again, just basically robots. You know how I hate killing robots. It just bores me. I don't know what it is, but they were the same every
Savage.
Single time, and so it got really tiresome there, and the story, I mean, a lot of the fetcher quests they made me do were just pointless. Like, it was go talk to this guy, and then I go talk to that guy, and he's just weird, and they're like, oh, and the story's kind of making fun of how bad the quest is, and I'm like, I don't want to trudge all the way back over there just to clear this off my list. This sounds horrible. I never was in need for anything the quests gave me. Mm. Like, I was
okay.
pretty, you know, I had a wealth of all the things I needed, and didn't really find much of a challenge until the very end of the game, and so even that, I guess, kind of sucked some of the life out of it for me, because I just felt like a lot of what I was doing was just kind of chores, you know, just doing some chores.
Gotcha.
And just to move on the game. I didn't feel like I actually needed to do a lot of it. Stylistically, though, I think mechanically it's very sound. Stylistically, I really enjoy it. You know, the kind of the sepia tone and
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. I think it's really neat, because they do contrast that a lot with, like, the enemies will shoot stuff at you that breaks that. And it's like, oh, that's really cool. So that's really neat. I'm trying not to get too dry here, because I know a lot of people really love the game, and I got an ending. And you can continue to play the game and get subsequent endings.
Right.
So I got
right.
ending A, and I think I got ending L, because I messed up in the middle of a quest and died early, and they just rolled the credits really fast, and then it made me start over. And I thought that was kind of funny, honestly.
That is funny.
But then for, like, you know, I was like, okay, so I beat ending A, and the game says, hey, do you want to get some more endings or whatever? And I was like, sure, I'll try to get a couple. You know, I'm not completely burnt out on it. I still find it fun. But then it takes, your character that followed you the whole time.
Right.
and it starts you over, and you basically go through the exact same thing. It's Game Plus. You have all your stuff, but you still have to go through this long, boring-ass tutorial stuff all the way through. Like, they even make you change, like, the settings in the menu, like, kind of show you that, and you have to go through all of that again. And this is, like, an hour that you got to go through this beginning level, and then you do the first few fetch requests over again the exact same way with the exact same enemies in the exact same places. It's like, no, thank you. I don't really want to play that much of it over again. Now, I know it probably changes a little bit later, and then the story starts to evolve, and you start to see how the ending differs. But, man, I don't want to replay that much of the same thing over again, at least not right now.
Right.
So I would give the game out of 10. I know that's not what we do here, but I know a lot of people really love it, and there's a lot of people that just don't love it. I think it's still a solid. I'd give it a solid 8.
I was expecting 6.
I think it's so inventive, and it's just like a fresh thing, and I just love its ambition, and it works really well. The only thing I didn't like about the game, you know, mechanically, was the map.
Okay.
The map was just ass, but everything else I thought was great. I give it a solid 8. Like, I think it's everybody should at least definitely play it, and then decide whether or not you love it. But
cool.
I definitely had some burnout with it. I'll say that. Now, I know a lot of people in the club. Caleb J. Ross is one that loves it. The Rocket Sauce loves it, and those guys have played it. Got multiple endings. I think that's great. I think that's awesome. But I got one ending. I'm happy with it. So moving on. Completed game number 2.
Yeah.
Jake, wow. I mean, you can't talk a lot about... I'm trying to get a little more air in here. You can't talk much about a horror game without spoiling much.
Right,
don't
spoil it.
That's the problem. I can't even be like, there's this part that's scary, because people playing it will be like, well,
you don't
bitch,
tell
I know
me.
Exactly what you mean. I know where that is. Like, right. Now I'm not going to be scared. So, but Resident Evil 7, I'll say it's masterful game. I mean, I love the first Resident Evil. I've not played a ton of the in-betweens, admit that, but I think based on playing 6 and dabbling in a few of the others, this is so much like the first couple, like the almost where I would say the series peaked in a sense.
Right.
Like right out of the gate with that real intimate, you know, you're in a house and the story's just unfolding and everything's creepy and dark. And the only difference, really, I think, is just that you're not using a third-person camera, fixed camera position. I think everything else, the recipe is perfect. You know, you're finding puzzles around, you know, you're trying to solve these puzzles and then fighting your way back through waves of, they're not really undead in this game, but these biohazard-esque enemies. So full of scares, man, both psychologically and, you know, obviously jump scares. Everything's creepy. The family's creepy that's in the house, but then the story unfolds and it keeps going. And I just, I love it. Again, we don't do that around here, but it's a 10 out of 10 for me. I have a lot of love for that game. I'm just really happy to see the series go back to what it was good at.
Cool.
Makes me really, really happy.
That's awesome.
So if you're not into horror games, though, I wouldn't recommend it because it is pretty, pretty scary.
That's what I hear. I've heard stories and, from you. And from Brian, that it was not for the old faint heart.
Yeah, it's probably the scariest I could ever be with another man that close to me. It was just there were times where we both screamed and just like embarrassed ourselves because of how scared we were. Like,
bro, hand me that hot sauce.
Oh man, I'm fine. Sorry, I got a cold. That's why I'm crying profusely out of my face because I'm scared to death right now. So it was really cool.
Very nice.
Is it time to go through the Beat Its?
Boy, it is. It is that time.
We float it out. We say, hey, if you beat a game, send us a screenshot. Send us a blurb. Let us know what you just beat with a Just Beat It hashtag. That is hashtag Just Beat It. Just like Michael Jackson used to do. Just beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it. Gong, gong, gong. Beat it, beat it, beat it. So we're going to go through them. Now, I enjoyed doing the ad-libs last time. I thought that was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
You know, improv-wise, we're not as good just being voices as we are just coming up with random shit.
Right.
So we're going to kick it off here, go through these one more time, just adding bullshit,
bullshit to
everyone's shit. Just Beat It. Who's going first here?
You go first there.
I'm going first.
You're
all right.
First.
First up, Musty. Known for not being able to handle his liquor, but loves being called Hairy Daddy, at Musty Hobbit beat Quantum Break on his Xbox One.
Hot dick.
It's a good one.
It's decent.
It's a decent one.
Decent. 7 out of 10 for me. Mm-hmm. All right. So, also, RetroPixel beat Sonic Mania, a game about a blue hedgehog that trips on acid and loves NASCAR.
Makes sense, because he's fast.
He's fast.
Jeffrey at Self-Destructo beat Jotun. Is that how you say that game?
I would think it's Jotun.
Jotun, a game about tangled slinkies that are somehow loosely based on Norse mythology. You know, makes sense.
All right, and Julian. who probably thinks that Bill Nye the Science Guy is a 90s rapper.
Yeah, it's good.
At the Latin legend. Beat Uncharted Lost Legacy.
Man, got that one right out of the gate.
Right out of the gate. Very quick. Nice.
Our friend Josh, who just bought a t-shirt at Frantic Society, beat Mega Man ZX, which is also the Cartridge Club Portable Game of the Month.
Ooh, wow.
That's a game about an angry blue teenager who has bad high-five timing. He's got that arm cannon. He wouldn't be good at it.
Yeah, he'd be awful at it. He's just absolutely awful at it. For his next trick, Duke at Duke0619 will slap on a flannel shirt, make you have intense lumberjack fantasies, and beat Donkey Kong on his Game Boy.
You know, I can say the same about you. When you're wearing flannel, I'm thinking, you know, do some stuff to me like a lumberjack would.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Oh, it's just the beards. I think it's
okay.
The beards.
All right.
Santiago, yeah. Our friend from Argentina.
Oh, yeah.
He poses dead bugs on his windowsill to look like suicides. at Santiago
dark.
QRG, beat Wolfenstein Old Blood.
Oh, that's a good game. Mm-hmm. I like that game. So the following folks contribute to society in no meaningful way and beat Journey a month too late.
Losers.
Idiots. Mighty Q Dog, Melissa and Miss Q Dog, and Mark at Cartridge Bros P2.
It's a lovely trio, but
it's a lovely trio.
Yeah, beat Journey way too late, guys.
Way too late.
Now we're going to move into the Polykiller Club, the Mile High Club, the people that beat more than one game.
The creme de la creme.
These people love to beat.
Yes.
First off, JD at Play and Listen beat Kamiko, Battlefield 1, and Yakuza 0, a game where the protagonist attempts to learn every street definition of the word schmegma.
Schmegma. That's a gross word.
Yeah, that's a gross thing.
Don't Google it.
Yeah.
Just not an image search.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cliff, who was also down there in the Chamber of Secrets where Hogwarts kept its secrets, at Cliff Hikes, beat Uncharted 4 and Uncharted Lost Legacy on his PS4. Very nice combination of games. I'm very close to doing that as well.
Yeah. Old Cliff hasn't charted shit in a long time, if you know what I'm saying, because he's beat Uncharted. He hasn't charted anything.
I got it. Actually, the trophy you get when you win the game is called Charted. So recently, he's charted two things.
Oh, clever.
Idiot.
Frankie at Viper Strike beat Mages of Mistralia.
It's pronounced Mistralia.
Okay. Was I not close?
Nope. You said Mistralia like Australia. It's Mistralia like Jambalia.
Like Australia?
Jambalia. You know, like the Cajun gumbo.
Okay. He also beat The Last Day of June. I think he beat it on The Last Day of August. And Uncanny Valley, which that's a trio of games that Frankie admits are more fun than sitting around in naked and watching The Golden Girls.
I don't know anything is more fun than that. So tonight on Housewives of Toronto, Miles, a flock of nerds, beats Nier Automata, Uncharted Lost Legacy, and Child of Light, a game about smart kids who swallow batteries from money.
It's a Child of Light. That makes sense.
Like
also,
it.
It's Nier Automata. Jacob.
I thought it was Nier Automata.
It's ma. Fuck you. Kyle at Doppelig beat Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, Puzzle Agent, and Cluster Truck. Truck, a game where you perform hot Brazilian wax jobs in the handicapped stalls of truck stops across America.
Ah, that's awesome.
Cluster Truck.
I would play that game. Brian, who Bruce Willis discovered was actually addicted to side boob at the end of an M. Night Shyamalan movie at Hokey Briz, beat Layers of Fear and Resident Evil 7. He's been on a horror kick lately. I said horror for your information.
I see side boob.
That was me being Haley Joel Osment.
Seeing side boob.
Yes.
At age 9.
Yes.
Good for him.
Catherine at K_Song beat Mario Sticker Star, Elite Beat Agents, which sounds like a game about beating people who beat games.
Right.
And Science Papa. A name I pay my wife to call me in the voice of Eric Cartman when we make love.
Giggity.
Giggity goo.
All right. Creep. Creep 1337 beat Journey and the creepy games Limbo and Little Nightmares. Creep is obviously so creepy that he believes the majority of all life's problems can be solved with duct tape in a soundproof basement.
He's probably not wrong.
I mean,
I could get rid of a lot of problems that way.
Get a lot done.
Mm-hmm.
Clean up.
Get it done,
will.
Creep. Ryan at It's Rocket Sauce. The sauce, of course, referring to the first three image results when you Google sneeze fetishes. Finally beat Mega Man 2, Uncharted Lost Legacy, and Halo 2 Anniversary. He beat a little collection of sequels there.
Yeah.
A couple twos and a five, so to speak. Four and a half, if you will.
Yeah, 4.5.
Good job, Ryan. Well, that's it for your Just Beat It. Again, if you just beat it, hashtag Just Beat It. And shoot us a screenshot and a little blurb, and We might have the intern respond to you in kind, and if not, we'll at least make fun of you here on the podcast.
Absolutely will.
All right, games that we've added to the backlog. Jake, why don't you take over here?
All right, so adding to the backlog, not much. Not much going on for me in games, but I did manage to pick up that game that I told you about earlier, which is Breast Teddy 2.
I'm sorry, did you say what now?
I said Breast Teddy 2.
Ah, Breast Teddy 2, of course, yes.
Destiny 2, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it here, okay?
Oh, please.
Rather than doing it later.
Okay.
Or earlier, since I've already missed my chance.
Yes, yes, in the present.
So I have to go with the present. But the game Destiny 2, now I was a big fan at first of the first Destiny. I played it a decent amount. I think I've been quoted as saying played it for around 200 hours.
That's
a lot of hours, you know.
That's like half a Tracy Skyrim in time.
Sure, yeah.
That's a long time.
It's a long ass time. However, I did enjoy it. Now, toward the end of that 200 hours, I was getting some fatigue, a little burnout.
It was probably the last, 75 hours, you think?
Yeah, I would say last 150, but yeah, it's fine. Either way, double that. But the promise of something bigger and better. And, you know, I abandoned Destiny shortly after the second DLC pack launched. And there was two or three more expansions, improvements. They're constantly tweaking that thing. And I had heard by the end of that that things had gotten much better. It was a better game, etc. So I thought, okay, so they're calling this with Destiny 2, so it must be even better, right?
It's a must sequel. Must be the second Destiny.
Bigger, better, sense. Right. So I was like, let me add this. So I played the beta, as you all know. Mm-hmm. Had a decent time with it, but it, you know, it was just short, and you know, you don't get that sense of progression like you do in a full game.
Which not is a lot to glean from it, you're saying.
Correct. You got to the graphics and shoot the guns and see the levels and all that, which was good. But last night, go home, pop that disc in there, download that update. After dinner, I'm like, all right, let me start this bad boy up. So I do, and I tell you, it does something pretty damn fun right at the outset. And I it's not really a spoiler at all, so I'm just going to say it. And if it ruins the surprise, I'm a little sorry. But it tells you who killed Jimmy Hoffa, like right at the start.
What?
Now, what it does is it sort of plays back some Destiny 1 memories that you as a profile had. It doesn't like replay them on screen, but it'll say like, you know, thank you for coming back and playing. Or, I don't even know if it says that, but it gives you the screen and it'll tell you the name of a mission from Destiny 1. And it'll say you extinguish the darkness on the moon or something like that. And it'll tell you the date that you did it and show you all the members in your party that did it with you. And it goes through that several times.
Now, what if you just started playing Destiny 2 Dry Dog?
You probably don't get that, I would assume.
Or do you think it'd make something up?
No.
Just to give you some backstory
of
the world?
It's not backstory.
Oh.
It's just, you did these things. Thanks for coming back.
Okay.
I thought that was really cool.
I mean, it's still kind of backstory, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but it's not exposition. It's just, this happened. So okay. That was cool. But moving on, you know, one of the big complaints with the first Destiny, as you all know, is that it sort of lacked any sort of narrative. All the world was just locked away in these little grimoire cards that you can even access within the game. There's no strong narrative. There were a few characters and some lore that you could interact with in the game, but just not a lot there to see. This game really just kicks that right in the anus.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Which I was pretty damn excited about. You start the game, you get some beautiful, beautiful cinematics. The music is just swelling and epic and heroic and triumphant. And there are cutscenes in this game, and there are characters, like lots of actual characters that have names, not just a bunch of mum guardians walking around. It's like actual people. And like there is a real sense of attachment to your character immediately because things happen at the start of the game and it's there's some really cinematic stuff that happens. I was really, really, really impressed with how far the story, at least the campaign wise so far, has come from the first game. It was like they listened to everything. The gameplay is tight. It's beautiful. Gunplay just feels amazing. Just so fun to shoot things. Already getting some sweet gear, leveling up nice and quick. So, yeah, I'm really happy with it. I'm much more happy with it than I thought I was going to be.
Do you think you could still potentially have that burnout 150 hours from now?
We'll see. We'll see. I think there's more content here initially.
A lot more to chew on.
A lot more to chew on. And
what's theirs tastier?
And, you know, they they'll keep this game alive for another 2 years, and then they'll drop another sequel. So
I thought it was supposed to be 10 years. They back off that. They didn't say that this time, right?
They didn't say that, but I mean, to be fair, they are saying, I mean, it is still Destiny. So it's not like it's Destiny the franchise, and I use my character even though I don't get to keep all my gear and stuff from the first game. So I am bringing that character with me to this game. So there's the threat of it there.
I guess so. Cool, man. I'm glad you like it. Hopefully you and Brian don't abandon me completely. I'd like to talk to you guys.
Oh, you don't play games with us anyway?
Don't. I like to beat by myself. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I added... Were you done? I'm sorry. I don't mean
no,
to
that's
move on
fine.
From you so
it's
fast.
Fine.
But it does sound like you're having a blast with it.
I mean, so far, like 3 or 4 hours, yeah.
That's good, man.
It's good. It's a great first impression, and I hope it lives up to it.
Yeah, that's great. I am adding Cold Fear.
Cold Fear.
For
now, what
the OG
the actual
Xbox.
Fuck is Cold Fear?
In actual fuck terms, it is a game about a dude on a ship shooting zombies, I think. Now, okay. The reason I know about this game, I believe Brian, who is sort of a horror expert, so to speak, in that he knows of a lot of them. He's played a ton of them,
okay.
And I've played a ton of them with him.
Okay.
I believe he had heard about it and had brought it up to me and said, asked me if I'd ever played it, because we were trying to think of games to play during our couch bro-up sessions, which, as you said, I don't play games with anybody, but I will play a scary game with people because that'll be the only time I play them. And this was a game that he brought up and said that he had always wanted to play and was curious about, and I looked it up and I said, well, this does look cool. It sort of reminds me a little bit, honestly, of Resident Evil. It just takes place on a ship. So it's like on a ship and you're just navigating your way through killing
sense.
The undead.
Is it like in the frozen lake or frozen?
It seems that way based on the cover.
Okay, like
it seems
Antarctica.
Like it seems like you just... jumping in the water and swimming away is like not an option. It just seems
right.
That way.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's a good premise. I like the idea. You know, kind of forces you into some form of isolation without being some bullshit story reason. Like, no, you can't go outside. There's thorns. You know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, you
something.
Literally shouldn't go outside.
Yeah, it's like there's no invisible walls. It's
that's
there's
cool.
A reason.
No, that's good. That's a good idea. Nice constraint. Nice creative way to include a constraint and make it tie into your story. And your mechanic.
Yep, and that's going to be our follow-up to Resident Evil 7. We like to mix it up. We like to go new school, old school, new school, old school. So
what's going to be the next new school? Do you got one for that?
Outlast 2.
Okay.
You think we ain't planning this shit? Man, we got a
which
document.
Which old school after that?
Obscure.
No, don't.
Hopefully.
Okay.
We'll see. I don't know. Right. It's subject to change at any moment, but that's kind of
what is not subject to change at any moment, Travis?
My name. Legally. It takes a while to change name.
That was my segue for you going to the ad read. And
you're
welcome.
I was like, this sounds like...
sounds like I'm trying to change your name.
Sounds like a Jake philosophizing moment. if you would like to not change your name... Sorry, God, I ruined that whole thing.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's better now. People won't forget that.
Caltech, guys, this episode is sponsored by them. Calden Technologies, LLC, in fact. Caltech focuses on product development in robotics, web apps, mobile apps, home automation, or some combination of the above. Let your imagination run wild. To learn more or to start a conversation about your future product or idea, go ahead and send an email to info@cowden.tech. That is info@cowden.tech. Also, everyone at Caltech is better at video games than Travis.
Boo.
Which is probably true.
It's probably true.
If you like what you're hearing so far, you know, you've already made it through the Just Beat It's. You know, you made it through...
the long plays.
You've not made it through that yet. But you made it through an ad read and a lot of us plugging ourselves, giggity, and our fisting stories, our first jobs.
Right.
And so we hope you like it. Now, please go ahead and check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/PolyKillPodcast. All the cool kids are doing
it. Some of you have been, and I appreciate that because I do see when we get new views and we get, like, you know, one or two a day now. So that's cool.
Man, it's really kicking up.
Yeah.
We should probably put something
it's
on there.
It's up like 300%. People are like intentionally not looking at it now.
Great.
It's just like I get 7 people avoided your page. I don't.
CartridgeClub.org is where you can find us. The site just got revamped. It's brand new. It's fresh.
Did.
It's good. It's beautiful. Go there. Check it out. The forms are also different, and that has confused me a ton. But if you're a newcomer, you won't know. So jump right in.
Jump right in.
Head on over to you can find us on CartridgeClub.org, and that is short for organism.
Orgasm.
Polykill.com is where we have all of our stuff. Just us.
Just us.
All of our blogs, videos, and... podcast, of course. That's the main shtick that we have going on here. Email us all of your stories, even if they're late. We'll take a shitty job story now. You know, I got one I have to share. I forgot to mention one last time, too.
We'll retread. It's
So polycopodcast@gmail.com is where you can reach out to us if you'd like to. Please rate us on iTunes or whatever service you use. Rating us on things is the best thing you can do. Subscribe to our Sad and Lonely YouTube channel, and eventually we'll make something and put it on there. And also forgot to mention there in the housekeeping that I was recently on JD's Play and Listen podcast, and it will drop probably before this comes out. So be on the lookout for that. If you're hearing this now, it should be in existence.
Yep.
And we just sit around and talk about gaming music there for about an hour. So it's really cool. Check JD and his podcast out. And I'm on there this time, and I think Jake might be on there in the future.
You never know.
All right. That takes us into the long play. Yeah, I bet that never gets old for anybody.
God, no. How could it?
So you've already kind of talked about yours in depth.
I have. Yeah. I'm not gonna go deeper.
I don't think you can. So I've played for 3 or 4 hours. Right. I think you're about as far into the cleavage of a breast titty two as you can be. But I added a game that you lent me.
I did.
And Clank there on PS4, and I played it just a tad. And man, I've been really just yearning for a real bright, bubbly, blue sky, colorful, plasticky, you know what I mean?
Oh,
just
yeah.
That I've been wanting a fun game,
it's such a PlayStation game.
Yeah, almost like old school. I feel Banjo-Kazooie about it too. Yeah. I feel all these, you know, kill stuff and let orbs come into your body.
That is beautiful.
That's fun.
I love watching that.
It's addictive,
it's
too.
Awesome.
The game has now become crate finder for me.
Like, oh, fuck yeah.
Kill everything, but look for crates so I can smash them and get washed in nuts and bolts.
Yeah, that's great.
It's my new favorite thing.
You love getting washed in nuts.
You know me. But I'm probably an hour and a half, 2 hours. I mean, I'll have that thing beat before we talk again, because I actually have to return the PS4, so I'll be done with it. So
it's a great game. I did enjoy it, and it is very gamey.
Yeah,
and it's
very funny,
enjoyable.
Well written.
Yeah,
so I call it a long play, but it's actually going to be fairly short. But I will have it done. It's the thing I'm focusing on now, anyway.
Nice.
So it takes us to the sad quest. What do you got going? What do you got cooking?
So I got Funcharted: The Lost Hennessy.
You know, for a guy that's had Uncharted on here for like months, I got to do something, man.
You have to do something.
I had to do something, so I just made something to make any sense.
Yeah. No, it makes very little sense, but I appreciate the effort or lack thereof.
It's ironic because sharding is never fun. So having saying you fun sharded is just like having a party on your pants.
Like, hey,
what are you doing?
What should I do now?
The Lost Hennessy just sounds like a problem, you know?
It's something that Nathan would go after.
Like, where's my Hennessy right now?
Where it at? Where they at, though? So I think I've talked about this game already a bit. I did get a little further into it, not much. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. However, I do intend to finish this quite soon, and I do adore the characters in this game so far, and it's so pretty. It's so pretty. Like, if you have a PS4 and you're like, hey, I'm playing, I don't know, whatever you play on PS4, stop it. Okay? Just stop that and go buy this game. It's $40. It's the most beautiful thing you'll ever lay your eyes on. It's amazing. Like, when you look at it, you're like, how are they making this? Like, how is this happening? Is it in my lifetime? It's beautiful, and the animation's great. The characters are great. It's lovely. Absolutely lovely, and a blast to play. And indelibly an Uncharted game. So if you thought that Nathan Drake was the end of it, I feel you. I like Nathan Drake. But at the same time, they can do more with this franchise with these side characters who are quickly becoming some of my favorites. It's amazing.
Good deal.
Yeah.
This episode was sponsored by Naughty Dog. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't.
I wish.
I played a little bit more Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance. In fact, I didn't actually play it since the last episode. Played it the episode before. Forgot to bring it up. But my wife and I are very far, and I believe we are a floor, or the game is kind of based on floors.
Okay.
You know, think Diablo, but not really.
Right.
We're a couple floors away from finishing it, so
nice.
I think we're maybe even a night or two from putting the bow on that one.
Very cool.
Also, play a little bit more GTA Liberty Titty Stories.
Yeah,
there on the PSP.
Girl.
I had a trip down to Hilton Head, and with those damn Hilton Head kids.
Yeah, and North Carolina.
Another one I forgot to bring up, but it's sort of funny. I don't know if I can make this story funny. It made me laugh, but it made me laugh because I normally am like a controller thrower in these situations. But like I'm
when
just
you're holding the whole console, it's a little different.
It's a lot different, especially when you're in the car with your mother-in-law and wife. Can't exactly just throw it up front and be like, fuck Hilton Head and everything else. I didn't do that. But I just
you should have.
It's funny how much I get in my own way. And I think it only happens in GTA. Like GTA is just a comedy generator when I play it. And there was this mission where, you know, I start out in my safe house. I go across the city, get the mission. Mm-hmm. Then I have to go across the city again to get to where the mission's sending me.
Right.
I'm supposed to run through this burning building, picking up cash and shooting guys, right?
Sounds like a GTA
it's
story.
It's a GTA thing, right? So the first time I do it, I go to the mission, I head out, I go to the house, I get to the house, I get a lot of the cash, and then I end up getting shot and dying. Like, I got this. I was so close. Go back to the safe house. I reload, because when you reload with all your stuff. If you die, you start at the hospital empty-handed, right?
Right.
So I'd saved just before, like, let's just load it back up. Go to the get the mission, go over to the house this time. I'm really close. I actually kill all the dudes before I get all the cash. I burn alive. I get stuck and I die in a fire. I'm like, God damn it.
Reload again.
Yeah, reload again. Go across the city. Get the mission. Go all the way over. Wreck my car. A car explodes. I die. Fuck. Reload. Reload the mission. Go across the city. This is like a half an hour. This is taking me forever. And each time I'm like, like, it's a huge deal for me to start over, but I'm, like, trapped in a car, and I'm like, this is all I have to do. So let's keep fucking doing this until I go insane.
Yeah.
So I go back again. I get the mission. I'm like, I got it this time. I go over. I get everything, and I die again. So I'm like, I know what I need now. I need armor. I need to get body. I need that extra layer
right.
of
protection.
Because honestly, it's bright. I can't really see that well in the car. Like, it's not great for, and I'm not seeing somebody fucking shooting me is what's happening. I'm being sniped.
Right.
So it's like, I need armor. So I spend probably 20 minutes running around the city looking for armor, and I don't see it. If you were looking for armor in GTA, where would you go?
Ammo store.
You would go there, right? They only have two guns available, no armor.
Jesus.
So, right? So, I'm like, fuck. So, I look around for armor for forever and eventually just, like, you know, die in a shootout randomly. So, I reload and it's, or no, I don't reload, actually. I die and it loads me at the hospital and it says, look out, two people are, you know, somebody has called a hit on you and they're coming to get you. And I'm like, well, this will be a change of pace. I'll just do this for a while.
This might as well happen.
Yeah. So, two guys come to fight me. And I get in a car real quick, they get out, and I back over them real fast. That's how I do it in GTA. I wait until they get out, then I get into a car and kill them with the car.
Perfect.
It works every single time. GTA enemies are just real stupid. They drop the armor.
Oh, okay.
They drop the armor. So I'm like, fuck yeah. So I don't have any guns because I had to reload at the hospital. So I'm like, great. So I've got this. So I get the armor after searching for it for like a half an hour and having to like kill men over it. I get the armor. I head out to ammunition, and I go get – and I'm really impatient. In the car, and I go to ammunition, and I just load up. I have tons of money. I get all the ammo that I can get. I'm like, I'm going to this burning house and fucking
wreck.
Mowing them down.
Yeah.
I back out of the menu, but I back out like I get impatient because I don't think it's responding. And as I'm backing out, I hit the back out menu or the back out button too much, and that also doubles as the shoot the gun thing. So as I'm backing out, I back out too much. He just pulls out a gun and shoots the guy behind the desk, who immediately pulls out a shotgun and fucking blows me away. In the store. So I'm back at square one. So I haven't finished that mission. Because it took me 2 hours to just die in an ammo store. I had it too, man. I had tons of ammo and the armor and just pulled the gun.
Did you not save in that time?
No. Because you got to go all the way back to the safe house, man. This was like, this all happened, unfolded. I'm like, things are really coming up Millhouse. And then
fuck it.
I, you know, brandished a firearm in the gun store and got just... blasted away. So there was that.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. Have you played anything else?
I have played Slime Rancher. I played Slime Rancher a fair bit. So I think I talked about this game when we were had Flock of Nerds on. Catherine was talking about getting Cloud Catcher?
Chronicles. Something.
Chronicles, yeah. I want to say Cloud Kicker, but that's a band. Anyway, we were talking about that game and how she liked games that were like almost chore oriented, where it's just management, like a Harvest Moon or Stardew Valley or something like that. And I was like, hey, I think Slime Rancher might be up your alley. Now, I don't know if she can get it based on the platforms they have, because I think it's a PC and Xbox One only title. But anyway, it was a free Xbox Games with Gold game. And I was like, let me jump in this bitch. So I do. And it is adorable. It is adorable. It's bright. It's colorful. You just go around and you get this vacuum cleaner. Not terribly unlike what Luigi has, mm-hmm. sucking up ghosts.
Yeah.
And you're on this planet, and they get these little sentient slimes, and they're just running around, bouncing around, and squishing. And
you just murder them with a vacuum cleaner?
No, you suck them. They're happy. They're fine. Oh, they're gelatinous.
Oh, you're just collecting them.
You're just collecting them. And then you put them in these pins, and then you like play a music, and then you feed them. And when you feed them, they poop out these things that are worth money. So you suck all that up. And then exchange it, and then you can buy new things for your farm. Like you can plant crops and sprinklers to make your crops grow faster. And then you get more and more rare kind of slimes and different kind of slimes that require like sun protection. And sometimes they only want to eat chickens instead of the carrots that you're growing. So it's a lot of fun.
It sounds adorable.
It is adorable. As hell.
Does it have an end game?
I don't know. I don't care. I'm just curious, watching little things flop around. That there's cat slimes. They have like little cat ears and they have cat tails and bounce around. And you got to feed them chickens.
That's me purring, by the way, not doing the sex thing I also do.
Right.
They sound similar.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. If you have access to this game, and you enjoy that style of game.
You should have, most people should. If you have a PS4, you should have it, right? Or something.
Xbox. It's not on PS4.
It was free at some point, is what I'm saying.
Right. If you have Xbox Live with Gold and you manage to click that get button in that 30-day window in which it was free, you should have it. So if you do...
if you purposefully did
download
that,
it,
you should
and
have
play it.
It
because it is fun. Well, some people, they automatically download.
Oh,
some
do
people,
they?
You know, like there's a setting you can...
See, otherwise, you won't need us telling you that you have it.
Right. But it is fun. So I highly recommend playing that if you enjoy that farming sim thing.
Well, that sounds like a good endorsement.
It is. It should be.
I played just a smidge more of Final Fantasy II there on the SNES.
You're still on the moon?
I am. I made it to the final boss, Jake.
Hell!
I don't want to have to take my shirt off in here and get proud on you, but I... Now, I got whipped hard, but I think getting there is... damn nigh beating it, but I'm not going to count. Obviously
don't
not.
Count. Yeah, you get
but I did get there, and the only reason I haven't been keeping up with the story. Like the story lost me a long time ago. I've just been listening to just music or podcasts or whatever as I play it. And so when I got to the final boss, like there was a lot of text I'd zip through. I'm like, whatever, fuck. And like this was probably part of the problem. They're probably like, don't do this or something at some point.
Stay out of the light.
Yeah. So I've not been
paying attention. Oh, there's fucking light. Let me get in there.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I can't see him. He's getting the light. But yeah, so I got to this guy, and I'm like, this guy is really huge and hard and giggity. And there was like a lot of text before him could be the final boss. And I gave it a juggle, and sure enough, people were like, why is this guy so hard? And I was like, me too. Yeah. And people were like, are you not reading anything? And I was like, yeah, no. Not a damn thing.
I'm just looking at the things.
I'm just doing the... Like the game's even doing the math. I'm literally just hitting buttons. Like just get me through this. But I'm a little bit closer to beating it, thank God. So I made fun of everybody for being late on their just beat it. I'm a couple months late
this is a June game, right?
Yeah, oh, I think so. Maybe 2 years ago. I don't know at this point. But that's it for our side quest, Jake. Now it's let's move into this Disquish about adventure games.
Let's do it.
Now adventure games.
Let's do it.
I did a little research on this, and like I said, I'd only ever defined adventure games by what games people said were adventure games. I'd never actually, you know, looked for a hard definition, but I found it interesting what an adventure game is, because when I think adventure games, immediately I think action-adventure, 100%. I would have immediately...
Like an Uncharted or a Tomb Raider or something like that.
Even a Zelda, something like that, which was what I thought, and that's why initially when you said, let's do adventure games, I was like, can we cut that down? Because that's huge. But then I was like, let me see what... And then I realized, oh, adventure games... are just story driven, there's no combat, there's barely action, it's just, combat itself is limited or absent, rarely is there a death even, very distinct from RPGs, there's no looting, no inventory, there's no real math.
It's not system driven.
No internal economy, it's basically just puzzle solving and story.
Narrative, yeah. We like that.
Yep, it is. And so I was like, oh, that kind of opens up a few doors for me. That makes me realize that certain games are adventure games that I never even thought were adventure games in the past, And so, digging a little bit deeper, I was like, what started all this stuff? Zork,
Zork was big.
I'd never, I made some retro pies for people, and Zork comes with the RetroPie just base software. You get to play it on the Infocom. It has that emulator. And so I did dabble in a little bit, and I think it's so interesting how it works. So it didn't really start there. It started even more simplistic. It was just like one verb, one noun, and, I'd say, you'd say go east, and that's about all you could do.
Yep.
Zork, though, you could actually type in, you know, some I wouldn't say fairly complex, but definitely more than two words, and it could parse it and understand what you were trying to do, like, you know, hit goblin or something, and
gotcha.
It could do a lot more than just two words. So that was like 70s and 80s. Everything was text-based.
Did you ever play any of those?
I did. Like I said, I dabbled in Zork and was just kind of like, wow, this is, like, your imagination really has to be your video card.
Yeah. I played one... ages ago, on a I don't even remember the type of 880 XT. It had like a monochrome, like amber colored monitor.
Okay.
Real piece of work, that computer. However, it did have a text adventure on it, but I don't think it was Zork. It was more like you were lost in this wilderness, and it was like, do you want to go east, west, north, south? What do you want to do? And you type
right.
in, go north, and it would do that and describe scenery to you. It was actually really cool. Like, it didn't really stick with me story-wise because I don't think I ever finished it, but it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. So I have dabbled in those, and not in a, like, a nostalgia, fascination matters. Like, no, I was there.
Yeah, it was like what all you had. And
this is what I did.
You tried it on purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
It was like someone told me to do this.
Yeah, I did. I think it's neat. And I did a little, you know, I dug in a little bit today and tried to, because I was just kind of curious. So I was like, I typed in Zork into YouTube. I was like, they may make a video of literally somebody typing over and over again into a terminal. And there's a guy that does a Zork walkthrough, and he doesn't read anything. He literally just goes through and tells you what to do. And he's like, if you want to read this story, pause the video. So it's basically just like, go east, enter, go west, enter, go north, enter. And he's just basically just giving it to you like
speed
that.
Speed running.
Yeah, basically speed running Zork is what it boiled down to. And I was like, this is awful. This is not fun to watch. Like, this does not translate at all to modern conventions. So, but anyway, I just think that's neat. Like, the text-based stuff.
I liked it.
It's interesting that they had to make it work that way. But then we moved in, we got, like, graphics, and then the mouse was huge.
Yeah.
And we got them point-and-click stuff.
Quick aside, while we're right here on text-based games.
Sure.
There is a engine, if you want to call it that, called Twine. It's mm-hmm. free to download. And you can make your own text adventure games, and it's like all node based. So you type in a thing, and then you can just like make as many branches off of that as you want to. And it's free, and it's super fun.
That does sound neat.
So if you're interested in like making a cool interactive story with just text, you don't require any programming skills, no graphics, no drawing. You just type shit in and give people options. So it's fun.
That's really neat. Is it like purely text-based, or does it kind of work almost like those old LucasArts one where you have your options at the bottom and people can select?
It's not like, yeah, I apologize for
no, it's fine, but it's not that there's a huge distinction. I was just curious.
Right.
Cool. Yep. So after that, the point and click stuff, that's when Myst and a lot of those guys
Riven
came in.
That's one of the Myst
Riven
games.
Yep,
right?
Yep. I knew about them.
Yeah, I never played them.
I didn't really have a PC that could make Myst run, which is sad in retrospect.
It's all pre-rendered.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that's where we were. But one thing I found interesting was after really point and click was when the FPS stuff really started to get popular.
Yeah.
And they say FPS in that whole generation there from the mid-90s, mid-early 90s through most of the 2000s killed the adventure game. You know, up until then, it was hot and heavy, and then they went away.
Hey, how's this stuff called graphics?
Yeah, and then Telltale is largely responsible for the resurgence.
Yeah, and honestly, not really until The Walking Dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they did the same IMAX stuff. They did Jurassic Park. They did Back to the Future. But it didn't really catch on until they hit that hot property.
Yeah, they hit
The
Walking
Dead
run, too. I mean,
it was great. It's great fucking writing.
Yeah. So I just think that's interesting. That's sort of one of those, you know, a nice little historical arc that happened.
Yeah.
In terms of some of those graphic adventure ones, you know, the ones that aren't text-based, you know, point and click like Myst, I didn't really play many of those, but there's also a genre called Escape the Room, and I haven't played like a hard like Steam-like title, but I remember in college playing some flash-based ones where you can look around the room and you had to look under the bed and find things
and
eventually you would put something in a tape recorder that would shoot
came like this big Rube Goldberg thing?
Sort of like that. Or it would like shoot the end game was not really escaping the room, but eventually you would get, what are the fucking things called?
Plunger?
What shoots onto a projector to shoot something on the wall that basically told you that the room is inescapable, but that was the same as beating it.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
And there were a bunch of those too, and I played a lot of those. So I think those are a lot of fun. Have you played anything like that?
I've played a few. Like, I think there's a lot of elements of those that sort of have moved into like the visual novels.
Yeah.
Like on a 3DS has a lot of visual novels. Vita has a lot. They're actually really popular on handheld consoles.
Yeah.
Gizknobs, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of the name of this developer because I kept thinking it was Ars Technica, but it's not. It's Artifex Mundi, yeah? Mundi, something like that. They make some really cool adventure games if you're into this sort of thing. I think they make them on PC, and they're actually ported over to consoles a lot. I think Xbox One probably gets a better share of them. But they're actually some pretty fun ones. Yeah, they got some like Halloween themed ones. They've got some steampunk themed ones, and they're really simple to play, but they have really pretty art and some like really cheesy sound effects and really awful voice acting. But they're just really charming to play because they're very throwback.
Yeah.
And then most of them are just like find the objects in the screen and like drag them into a thing that says you got all the things. But it's just fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoyable. Easy achieves too if you want those.
Right on, yeah. There's also puzzle adventures, which, you know, like The Witness and even mm-hmm. Professor Layton sort of falls in this category
yeah.
as well.
No combat, just story and finding shit.
I'm sure I've played a puzzle adventure game, but I couldn't put my finger on it. It was probably just a real small, quick thing, but what about you?
I would say Thomas Was Alone is probably yeah. in that space.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah. sure.
Because there's no combat, it's story-driven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I believe it.
Yep.
Because it's not, as long as it has, because, you know, obviously they're strictly puzzle games, and the puzzle adventure must have a narrative. That's
right.
what would differentiate it.
Yep.
And then there's narrative-specific adventure games, like that's when your Telltale comes in. And that's sort of been the resurgence we have now, whereas, you know, point-and-clicking is kind of a lost
right.
thing. We don't want to do that anymore.
Mechanics are a thing that aren't driving adventure games now. Now it's writing story and things like that.
Yeah, and we can still let the graphics
be cool.
Take hold here too. Yeah. You know, Heavy Rain's another example, and Life is Strange. Yep. You know, those are, you know, they're not the prettiest games ever, but they do have an aesthetic that is
yeah.
nice.
Yeah. I really love the look of Life is Strange.
And then what you had previously coined as FPXs, as in first person exploration, also falls into this
experience.
First-person experience. This also falls into the graphic adventure exploration subgenre, where you have things like your Firewatch and was it Stanley Parable?
Yep.
And a few games like that. Tons of those. Those are ever popular at this point. Probably because they're easy to make and easy to write for. But
yeah, I think there's a certain leanness to them in development-wise that makes them stand out, but it also plays into the fact that the story is now driving it. So you're not, you know, like when you're playing Uncharted or something like that, you rely on cutscenes to drive the story often. But this allows a story to happen while you're doing it.
Yeah, and I'm not, I played like Dear Esther, and I'm not totally against those games. They're just, I don't seek them out. I know a lot of people just, like Brian will play whichever ones he can get a hold of.
I'm kind of that way. I mean, the aesthetic has to be good for me. It's like, I'm not going to play, hey, why don't you walk around this art museum for 3 hours? No, I'm not going to do that. But if it's like this mysterious island with cool caverns and lights and shit, then I'll do that.
Yeah, I always feel shallow when I kind of nod them off and I'm like, no, that's okay. I don't really want to do that. But, you know, maybe I am. I just, it's not my idea of really fun, even though it can be immersive and it can be sort of because your imagination is still driving those a little bit, because usually you'll just find artifacts that kind of tell a story, so you have to imagine
often is the case.
An old relationship that they brought up or something like that, especially like I'm thinking specifically Dear Esther, there was like notes left behind. I'm like, why is this important? But the game was pretty, and there's certainly good things to say about it. It's just, it's not an experience I seek out a lot of the time.
Gotcha.
But I have played a few. And then there's visual novels.
Right.
Like you brought up earlier. This is when it gets weird. Like visual novels can get into that weird kinky.
Oh, yeah.
Like Eroge, I guess that's how you say it. Eroge, probably. Right.
I don't know.
Eroge. Basically, schmutty visual novel games.
Oh, yeah.
Wildly popular in Japan, or at least more popular here than here, because we probably can't have them here.
Right.
Hateful Boyfriend, I think, is one. That's not mm-hmm. really a smutty one, but that's one I can think of.
Right, that's where you date pigeons.
Yep. And then interactive movies like Dragon's Lair, which was great on Laserdisc. It did not port well to anything else.
Yeah. That was gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just neat stuff.
Yeah. Lots of like ways to be the same thing. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is kind of neat, and yeah. it's all essentially the same thing. Yeah, there's no combat. It's basically just solving puzzles through a story,
right.
or navigating a story through puzzles, which is kind of cool. So
that works.
What are some of your favorites? Now, we've already highlighted a few of mine.
Yeah.
Like I basically said anything that I've played that Telltale has done, I adore. And to add on to that, Life is Strange and Heavy Rain were also a couple. Sure. Well, Heavy Rain did have some combat in it. It's not strictly...
Right.
You know,
it's not real-time combat, though.
It's a good point.
You know, it's not like this button punches. It's like, in this moment, this button punches. It's still
true.
A version of puzzle solving.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
QTE.
I'm back in there now. So, yeah,
you got it.
So, yeah, those are my favorites. You know, The Walking Dead, Batman, Tales of the Borderlands, The Wolf Among Us. Those are the ones that I've played from Telltale. And then Life is Strange and Heavy Rain.
So, I mean, I don't think I need to say Life is Strange again, but Life is Strange. Mm-hmm. I'm really going to dive in soon and play the new one. At least very soon, hopefully. The first episode of that's out. The Walking Dead, I adore that first season and love what I've played with the second season. And eventually I'll finish that and probably play the third season.
You should do that.
I'll probably do that. But I like those. Tales from the Borderlands really just hit everything right for me. Like, what a great story. Like, taking an existing game world and making a really engrossing like Telltale version of that is really cool, because I don't think up until then that had been done, and I don't think it has been done since. They take other properties like a comic book or a movie or something like that that has this big established lore, like years and years of publications or movies or whatever, but now they're taking something that's just been three games I guess, and taking it and putting the Telltale spin on it, and I found it hilarious and awesome. If you haven't played that game, play it.
It's even more than three, really, if you count Michonne and the 400 Days kind of mini one that they had, too. I mean, there's a bunch of them.
I was talking about Tales of Borderlands.
I thought we were still talking about Walking Dead.
You just zoned the fuck out.
I did a little bit. I'm very sorry.
You should listen to our podcast while we do it.
I think my caffeine expired.
It seems like you're dragging a little bit. Anyway, other ones that I really enjoyed, and I think I talked about last year a good bit, was Virginia. And this is one of the better interactive first-person experience story-driven things that I've seen. It's less puzzle-driven, but more environmental storytelling. You know, not a word of dialogue spoken and not a line of text written in the game anywhere. It's all just through nuance and characters and style.
What would you call Limbo and Inside?
Those are puzzle platformers.
Okay. Could see that. Okay, cool.
Lastly, Gone Home. Really liked that game. I think I liked it more than Tacoma. Tacoma was cool, but I think Gone Home was just, I don't know, it had a creepy factor that was really good, because it wasn't creepy because there was, you know, like you knew there were ghosts going in. It was like, what is this? I don't know what this is. And it was just completely unknown. So I liked it for that.
Neat.
Indeed.
Let's talk about some adventure games that we do intend to play.
Okay, let's do that.
One that both of us have written down here, and I heard about this one at a MAGFest. I heard some people rave about it in a little panel session.
Like a little rave. They had glow sticks and dropping X.
No, this MAGFest. This ain't Cutco Fest.
Oh, you said rave, though.
People were raving about it.
Raving about it.
People were excited. Well, this is, the game had been out for a while, but people were like, you know, they're talking about... We haven't even said the game yet. 999.
999.
But people were talking about it, and they brought it
or
up.
Or is this known in Germany? No, no, no.
Ah, okay. Here we go. And bad jokes at the end of the podcast. That's what always happens. People were talking about it. They said it intrigued me. The things they were saying about it made me excited about it. And I actually remember trying to buy it afterward. I went to a game store, and I was like, do you guys have 999? And the guy, I could not get across to him the game I wanted. I had to leave the store, like, without him or me knowing what happened. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, I'm not sure I do either, because you work at a game store, and I feel like you would know about it. Because I just came from a place where hundreds of people were talking about it.
I feel like it's your job to know this.
Yeah. But I guess it also goes by the more proper name of 9 hours, 9%. Persons, 9 doors. So maybe he was like, you didn't say that. You just said 999.
Nah, I mean, if you know this game, you know it's called 999.
Well, anyway.
Like, that's what the cover says is 999.
That's what I thought as well.
Because I own it. Because I'm going to play it too.
Yeah, I don't own it, but I'd love to play it. Now, what do you have it on?
3DS.
Okay.
Well, cool. I guess it's DS, but we'll play it on 3DS.
Sure.
Yep.
Anything else you'd like to add about that one?
No, I mean, it's a really, it's a trilogy. This is the first of a trilogy. So there are two more games that follow this afterward.
What are the sequels called?
I can't remember off the top of my head. It's mainly because I'm tired. But there are two more games after it, trust me.
Is it like 9999?
No, they're not even numeric at this point.
Oh,
but honestly, Zero Escape,
that one's got
Virtue's Last Reward, I think those are the two.
Okay, interesting.
They may be the same. I could be wrong. I'm sorry, I didn't research this. I didn't know I was going to have to explain this.
It's okay. I also want to play Shinmue.
Yeah. Yeah, you own that, right?
Yeah.
You got that on the old DC.
It's one of the more prominent 3D adventure games that exist.
Both of my now, is there combat in that game, though?
Is there which now?
Combat? Do you punch
people? I think a little bit, but I don't know. I everything I've read says it's largely an adventure game.
That's cool.
It might straddle another genre.
Okay.
So it might not be purely adventure, but it is regarded as one of the greatest adventure experiences of all time. So I'm intrigued by it.
Yeah, that's but awesome. And you should play it for that reason.
All three of my Dreamcasts are currently in the infirmary.
It's crazy. You have three and they're all sick.
Yeah.
Contagious.
There's a reason for that. I can maybe bring that up on another episode.
Sure.
So yeah, that's one that I'm looking forward to playing. With a hubbub of three kind of lurking out there and whatnot.
Right.
So I think it's time to do it.
Yeah, I want to play The Wolf Among Us. I have it. I just haven't played it. So I've heard it's good.
It is good. Yeah.
And it's like an installment is coming.
So yeah.
It's reason to play it.
It's, now's probably the best time.
Soonish.
Only because it's been so long since that first season came out. Playing it now, you're probably better off waiting as long as you did. Because a lot of the stories don't stick with me,
Fair.
And replaying it is, I guess you could look up the story online, but whatever.
Yeah, I'd rather play it.
Also, Snatcher, a Sega CD game made by Hideo Kojima.
Ooh.
And I've emulated a little bit because buying it outright, if you want to get the original Sega CD, put it in your thing and let it spin, play it kind of thing version, it's like $500.
Jeez, whiz!
gee whiz. It is not
cheap to come
by. A common game at all.
It do not seem so.
But it has a cult following, in retrospect, largely regarded as being one of the greatest written games of all time. And was really popular in Japan. I guess they just didn't do well here, and that's why it's hard to find.
Well, yeah. Okay.
But it's one that I want to get a hold of. I'll probably end up emulating it unless I just get really lucky.
Sure.
I'm not dropping that cash on it.
No. You can't do that. I am also, I have Grim Fandango. I just haven't played it, but I want to play it. I've heard good things. I got the remastered version on PS4. It was free 1 month, so I have no excuse for not playing it other than that I just have it. But I know it's one of those games that supposedly holds up pretty well in terms of narrative, and I love the idea of it being like
kind of funny, right?
Yeah, noir Day of the Dead thing. Mm-hmm. That's a great mix. So, yeah, I can't wait to play that.
Yeah, that's one I might add to my backlog too, actually. The more I read about that game and see about that game, the more I'm like, that seems to fit me pretty well.
Yeah. Cool styles.
Firewatch, if you played that,
I have,
forget.
Yeah.
Played, okay.
Played,
yeah.
It's a one-seater, if that makes sense. Just sit down and play it.
One-seater. I want to get it, and I want to play it with Tracy. I want her I think that's a good experience this year, because from all, I kind of looked at some reviews and whatnot, it's like very intriguing and has some mystique about it that I think we'd both enjoy.
Yeah, it's has some of the best voice acting you'll ever hear, in terms of not quality of voice or something like that, but just the way the characters interact with each other is extremely organic and sounds incredibly genuine, but not bad. You're overhearing a phone conversation. It's this is well coached, well acted dialogue.
Interesting. Cool.
Yeah,
good.
Really like it. Really like it. Alone with You. This is a game that is from the developer of Home, also known as Home Horror. I don't know if you ever played this game. I think you would like it. It's a quick play. It's maybe a 30-minute hour playthrough. It's on iPad. It's on PlayStation Vita. I think it's on PS4. But it's an adventure game where you are trying to determine what happened in your house. You've got some sort of amnesia, and there's lots of choices and things that you can make. And the choices that you make aren't necessarily what you do, but what you decide happened.
So you know a lot about this game, but you say you've not played it?
No, I have played this.
Oh.
This is the first game that I'm talking about. The developer made Alone With You.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Okay.
No, it's okay.
So what was the first game you're talking about then?
Home or Home.
Oh, it's just called Home. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yep. I'm very sorry.
No, it's okay. It's a brilliant little game, and I really encourage you to play it. I mean, it's probably $3 or $4 on whatever platform it is playable on, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like I said, because it's the choices you make aren't am I taking path B or path A? It's you have to come to some sort of, you have to settle on this has to be what happened, and then you proceed from that presupposition.
Interesting.
It's pretty cool.
So alone with you, what is its style?
This is like graphically the same style, colorful pixels, but it's, you are, I think you're just crashing in a spaceship, and you have crashed, and you're alone on a planet with this AI. So it's like you're alone, but you have someone with you at the same time.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Cool stuff. Cool stuff.
Yes, that's cool. One that we both have on our backlogs and possess is The Witness.
The Witness, yeah. This is one that I plan to play with my wife because she loves puzzles. She's great at them.
Yeah.
And this is like right up her alley.
Yeah.
In terms of puzzles.
It's so beautiful, like the colors. And yeah, I'm excited to get into it. And everything I've seen looks good.
Yep.
Well-reviewed game. Made by old Jonathan Blow.
My old Thekla. I don't know how to pronounce it.
What's that now?
His development company.
Oh. Isn't it just called like Blow?
Blow Games. Blow. No, it's Thekla or Thelka. I don't remember which it is, and I'm too lazy to Google it because that'll make a lot of noise on the podcast that I don't want to make.
Whatever. You're just lazy. Okay.
It's fine.
Does that do it?
Do it, fam.
All right. That's been episode 49.
7 squared.
Once again, you can catch us on episode 50 on Twitch. We'll be streaming it live September 21st at 8 p.m. That's a Thursday, so be there, be square, and be ready to roll. You can find us on Twitter. I am at TravPlaysGames.
I am at The McAxel.
And together we are at Polykill. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PolykillPodcast. Subscribe to us on YouTube.
YouTubes.
Just search out Polykill. We don't yet have our own URL. Please rate us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. Visit polykill.com for all of our stuff. We even have t-shirts on there. You can buy a t-shirt. Upgrade your torso to date.
Get yourself a Moog.
Head on over to thecartridgeclub.org. That is short for orgasm.
Orgasm.
There you can find t-shirts from all of the club podcasts, including our own. And there is a bit of a deal going on, I believe, if it's not expired already or will expire when this is released. I'm very sorry. But always be on the lookout for deals. You know, check in every now and then for a deal. I don't know when they're going to be. We don't know when they're going to be. It ain't like we're like making them here, you know. Just go check it out. I got one on right now. Maybe I should reference that. I got a Polykill t-shirt on right now. It fits
probably noticed.
Adult men very, very well. Please reach out to us at polykillpodcast@gmail.com for any of your quips, complaints, suggestions, feedback, or shitty stories that you might have.
Let's do it.
Especially for nature. We're looking for those nature stories. Geez. All right, we'll see you, we'll literally see you. You'll see us.
Hopefully. Be there.
In a couple weeks.
Peace out.